And welcome again to the Healing with the Arts Telesummit. And we're here with Dr. Michael Samuels. And he's going to be talking about how art heals the body, mind, and spirit. He's going to be telling us what art and healing is, the history, the physiology, and he's going to give us some examples of how it's being used today. Now, Michael Samuels, MD, is a physician who has used creativity, art, and guided imagery with patients with life-threatening illness for over 30 years. He's the founder and director of Art as a Healing Force, a project started in 1990 devoted to healing with creativity and making art and healing one. He teaches art and healing at San Francisco State University, the Institute of Holistic Studies, and John F. Kennedy University. He also lectures and does workshops nationwide for physicians, nurses, artists, and patients, and has organized many nationwide conferences on creativity and healing. He's also participated in projects in hospitals where creativity, art, and music are used with patients. He's a recognized leader in art and healing and is the author of 23 books, including the best-selling Well Body Book, Well Baby Book, Well Pregnancy Book, and Guided Imagery Classic, Seeing with the Mind's Eye. Welcome, Dr. Samuels. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, David. I'm very happy to be here.
And go ahead, please.
Well, I want to welcome all the listeners with an open heart and a prayer. And one of the first things I try to say is that art and healing takes place in sacred space, so we'll slowly make that happen today. And it also takes place in the most grounded, solid medical facilities and hospitals. So one of the things art and healing is right now is it's a bridge between healing body and healing spirit, and that's the way I'm going to introduce it. For me, art and healing is one of the most powerful healing modalities that exists. It's free, it's easy to do, it has minimal side effects, and it's something I think everyone can benefit from in their life. David has given you an introduction to me, but I'll expand it a little bit with some sensuality and some form. I was first a molecular biologist researcher at NYU, and so my grounding is science and my grounding is research. And that's actually helped me a lot in art and healing, because we'll talk a little later about some fantastic new research which really makes this much clearer about how it works. But I was for many years working with patients with cancer, a lot of them end of life, person fertility, life crisis, and working with guided imagery. And the patients would come to me and they'd maybe be chronic pain and they'd maybe have a cancer that metastasized. And we'd be doing some guided imageries and I'd say, close your eyes and relax and picture your healing forces and picture your the problem you've got, and this would happen. And one day, one of the patients I'd worked with who had chronic rheumatoid arthritis with pain and deformities of joints, and she was on 5 medicines, and she had terrible side effects of these medicines and was really in pain all the time. And we were having doing guided imagery, and she closed her eyes and suddenly lit up. And I said, what's this about? And she says, I can see where I am now. And I said, okay. And then she went home and came the next week with a painting. And it was a painting, and I didn't know she painted or drew. I didn't know any of these things. And it was a painting of a woman's legs and the earth coming out between it, like you were looking from her chest down. And I said, what is this? She said, I'm giving birth to the earth. And I said, what do you mean? She says, I can feel myself connected to the earth, feel the energy of the earth coming into me, and now I'm its mother. I'm like the earth mother. And she looked at me and she says, now I know I'm going to get better. And she did. She went off all the pain meds. Her life completely changed. She went back to work. And I don't take credit for these things. It's holistic and it's her everything in her life. But this is in fact what happened. And I went home after the session. And I said, what was that about? What happened? And I realized that the painting itself enabled her to see much more deeply into her spirit, into the places where her power came from. Guided imagery is one thing. You close your eyes and you picture something, and it comes to you. But when you have to paint it, it's three-dimensional, it's real, you can touch it, you can smell it. When you have to dance it, when you have to sing it, it embodies you and goes deeper. And I said, this is really interesting. So the next thing that happened to me, I was with a wood sculptor named James Searles, who sculpts spirits. And we were playing, which meant making art. So we made a piece where we took eucalyptus poles, stuck them in our pockets, and tied prayer flags to them and went down the mountain and ran with them. And as I was running, I had a vision, like a guided imagery vision, that art and healing were one like lovers, and that they were together and integral, and that when I came back from this in my mind, I said, I have to devote my life to this. And this is strange, because I was a molecular biologist, I was a family physician, I was the only doctor for 40 miles of California coast for 5 years, and here I was going into a place that was very, very different, and I was drawn there by my own visions and my own spirit and art. And this is not a joke. So one of the things I'm telling you as the listener of this, we're all healers, we're all artists. We'll go into this much more deeply in the rest of the session. And the place where your images of healing, where your spirit talks to you, where whatever you believe in as your spiritual base talks to you, is guided imagery and art. So in your own life, we'll do a guided imagery later where you can close your eyes and look back at where art healed you. And I set up a nonprofit with my sister, who was a museum curator, called Art as a Healing Force. And we asked, it was very broad, and my sister was very good at connecting to the art world. And we just said, what art has healed you, yourself, others, community, and the earth? And by art we meant, and this is for you for the whole show, by art we mean word, which is theater, poetry, or chanting words, something like that. Visual arts, which is photography, film, sculpture, anything in the visual arts. Music, listening to music, playing music, singing, chanting, toning, dance, movement, even yoga, body movement. So we've expanded that now to be gardening, to be taking care of your children with love. It's the art is the art of your life. In Buddhism, they say Buddha's emanation on earth is his art body. So your emanation on earth is truly your art, and you move through the day as a dancer. It's very beautiful. So this is what's going on in art and healing. And the nonprofit we set up, we found many different types of people. We found artists who got sick, who were famous artists, and healed themselves with the art. Suddenly they stopped making art for an exhibition, but they made art with breast cancer, about their breast cancer, and that changed their life. Or we found people that never made art before and were sick and suddenly by themselves discovered art healed them. And they painted maybe even sometimes 25 paintings 10 feet tall. One woman, she had chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, and she just started doing body tracing. She had no idea why. And she traced her body, and then she filled it with snakes. And snakes are the ancient Grecian and Tibetan symbols of healing. And this came to her in her visionary state as a spirit, a spiritual world connecting. I say, I'm very religious, and I say basically God speaks to you as art and God speaks to you as visions. So that this is, when we got all this together, we did a 4 think tank conferences over 4 years with exhibitions, and we're trying to see what art and healing was on earth. And one of the things we saw was that there were new hospital programs that were starting to use art all over the country. And this was in 1980 that I'm talking about. This is the history. Now things are very different. Now there's a field of art and healing. More than half of the major cancer centers and universities have art and healing departments. If you go into UCSF in San Francisco, Cancer Center, Mount Zion, you'll immediately see Cindy Perlis, who's the artist in residence who's been doing this the longest, and she gives you many, many, many programs for a cancer patient to work with art. The healing quilt, the breast cancer quilt, the AIDS programs, art on the walls. It's now combined with guided imagery. It's a major tool in more than half of the cancer centers in America. So what this tells you is these are university research hospitals. These are not new age or alternative facilities. So what we're doing now is art and healing for me, and in the research we've done and my experience, as I said before, it's the way to bring spirit into medicine. We all talk about healing body, mind, and spirit. You listen to the radio, and it says Sutter Medical Center is coming into the community to heal body, mind, and spirit. Okay, this is wonderful. It's a change in healthcare. And how do you heal body? It's allopathic medicine, drugs, surgery, and you can extend it now to non-allopathic body work, Feldenkrais, massage, movement. That's body. Okay, mind. What's mind? Well, guided imagery, to some extent, relaxation, meditation, all of these kind of techniques to use mind. But then there's another word left. Spirit. How do you heal spirit? How does the hospital, how does Sutter Medical Center heal body, mind, and spirit? And this is an open question, and it's fascinating, and it's what I've devoted my life to in the last 25 years. For me, art is the easiest way to heal spirit, and there's a lot of reasons why. So let's pause a second and take a breath. I get excited and love this stuff. It's my passion. So there's two things that I'll talk to you about right now. One is the history of art and healing, which is actually non-trivial, and the other is the physiology, how it heals, which is really important for those scientists among you and those people who really want to understand the nuts and bolts of how something works. First of all, in the history, the first artist and the first healer were one person, and they didn't have a name. It was close medicine person, shaman priestess. And what they did in indigenous times and ancient times is first thing they did was dance. And this, if you read the Kalahari Bushmen study from Harvard, they looked at the Kalahari Bushmen in South Africa, and the way they healed was once a week they danced. And the whole tribe got together, and they danced wildly. And they called it freeing the boiling energy. And it was like suddenly the life force would return to people, and also a little bit like Haitian voodoo, they would fall, or Christian church healing. They would suddenly hear voices or see things and fall down on the ground and be held by someone, and a message would come to them. So the oldest artist, the oldest healer, and at that time there was no word for art, there was no exhibitions. You weren't making art to sell or to become famous. It was only part of the healing traditions. And shamanism, which sprung from it, is basically art and healing. The shaman priestess, the shaman healer would be in a costume, there'd be a drum, there'd be a dance, there'd be music, and he would bring in the spirits or bring the soul back to the person through music, art, and dance. And again, I look at this and say, this is not trivial. This is actually the way, this is the core of the technology of spiritual healing. So it's... And we know why now, which I'll talk about a lot more. But Mary Lane and I have written 4 books together on art and healing. She runs the arts and she was founder of Shands Arts and Medicine, University of Florida, which is probably the best arts and medicine program in a hospital. Shands is a heavily research-based, heavily scientific hospital. And Mary brought the artist into the patient floor, into leukemia patients in bone marrow transplant, the sickest patients in the hospital. This isn't an accident, too, because Cindy Perlis at UCSF brought art to AIDS patients before the drugs and to cancer patients in bone marrow transplant also, because these people are in a spiritual space where they're open to and where they can't help doing something. So the first artist and the first healer were one. And they were an artist, and the actual making of the art was the healing. So let's look, how does this work? The physiology of art and healing, but it's a little broader than that. It's the physiology of how art heals body, mind, and spirit. And we'll take it in 3 steps. First, when a person makes art, they have an image that comes to them. Say you've got a piece of paper, and you've got a pencil, and you've got colored crayons. And you're going to say, and you're in my art and healing class or Mary's art and healing class. And we say to you, okay, we're going to make art today. And the way we do it is we do a guided imagery first, which I'll do with you. And then for 15 minutes or half hour, they just make art. and they can do anything they want to. They can do color washes, they can choose something from the guided imagery, and they just start. So art is made from an image, and the image comes to your big brain when you're asking it or when you're programming it. You can say, okay, I know I'm going to draw an angel, and then draw it. Or you can say, it's a blank page, what am I going to do? And suddenly in your mind, there's this, your fingers are moving, and there's wings, and an angel appears. So from somewhere, these images come. Okay, the images come, and they're held in the big brain and the cerebrum, kind of the modern brain. But that brain is a strange brain, because you all know about left and right lobes of the cerebrum. There's a brain that's logical and thinking and cognitive, and a brain that's imagistic, emotional, and sensory. And they're connected with a big pipe that goes between them. And as soon as you start making images, you leave the logical brain, and you go into the imagistic brain, and you're able to access information and new neural circuits that you've never accessed or don't access for healing. And it adds a tremendous amount to your body, and this is the way it does it. You hold the image in your mind. Say it's an image of a beautiful scene at the beach. Say I said to you, close your eyes. And now in your imagination, picture the most beautiful place you ever go to. Picture a place that you're happy. Picture the warmth on your skin, or picture something like that. As soon as you do that, the image becomes real, and the physiology of your body changes. There's two examples of this I can give you that you know. One is that if you picture a sexual image of any kind, your sexual organs respond. They get blood flow and erect. So this is an image held in the big brain that immediately affects neurologically and blood flow-wise one part of your body very specifically with blood flow. Think about it. This is not trivial. It's very, very, very cool. And another one is, probably this has all happened to all of you, the famous story, Carl Jung, the psychologist, tells it, is if you see a stick in the road and you think it's a snake, you look at it and it's a snake, and suddenly your heartbeat goes up, your breathing changes, your pupils dilate, your blood goes to your muscles for fight and flight to run away. It wasn't even a snake. Then as soon as you see it's a stick, you go, oh, and then your body goes back. But again, what's happened is the image, and an image is every sense. An image is touch, smell, vision, and hearing, and when you put it all together, it's like an experience. That image, your body doesn't know to some extent whether it's real or whether it's in your mind. And so these images, what do? The nervous system you've got has two. The autonomic nervous system, which is the automatic nervous system, which is blood flow, heartbeat, immune system, neurotransmitters, has two branches. One is sympathetic, which is fight and flight and arousal. And all of you know what that one's like. The brakes of a car hit, you hear them shriek behind you, and suddenly your heart beats up, you're totally awake. That's fight and flight. You're getting ready to leave. And the other one is relaxation, healing, immune response, and neurotransmitters. That's relaxation when everything's all right. It's accentuated during meditation, and that's why the work at Harvard of Benson and the whole behavioral medicine team there was basically set up to give people the ability to use meditation to lower their blood pressure, even their heart rate, have tremendous physiological effects on people. So the first way art heals is you're capturing an image that affects your autonomic nervous system to put it into healing mode and out of stress mode. And it works many ways. First, it's direct nerves to the autonomic nervous system, nerves to blood vessels and all these things, and it's also hormones from the adrenal gland, epinephrine, norepinephrine, stress hormones, and also neurotransmitters, serotonin in the brain, which stimulate the immune system. So when you're making art, automatically the blood flow changes to every cell in your body, and your neurohormones and neurotransmitters change. So this is the first and oldest way we know art heals. Okay? Now we're in a much, much cooler territory in research. There's a group of studies done this year at MIT on memory. And what they did is it was done on rats, but it applies to humans. And they have a memory that's a traumatic memory that's held in the animal's brain. And they can now, through modern technology and MRIs and stimulation, everything, they can actually stimulate cells that hold that memory. They can see them because they light up, and they can stimulate them. It's as if you have a memory of trauma in your own life, a rape, child abuse, the illness that you're having, fear, these are held in certain neurocircuits. And when those circuits are stimulated, the memory, you remember the memory. So what they did with the rats is they artificially stimulated the circuits of this traumatic memory. The cells lit up, and then they substituted another memory. And the way they did it is just changing colored lights. The first memory the rats had was blue light, and they changed it to red. And what they found is that the blue, memory of the blue light disappeared, and the memory of the red light came. So that literally the memory was switched. Okay, this to me is like an earthquake. It's earth-shaking. Because say I'm working with a patient or a person with art and healing, and say whenever we work, Mary works with art and healing in her class at UF, University of Florida Graduate School. I work in the many classes I teach. And we say to the people, this is what we're going to do. We're going to use art, which is music, dance, visual arts, and word, to heal something that needs to be healed in your life. So let's close your eyes now and think of something that needs to be healed. So say a person, for example, a woman, once decides she's going to use art to heal a violent rape that's happened to her 10 years ago. Okay. As soon as she makes that decision, there's three things that happen. One is she's exciting the cells of that memory, which maybe have been repressed or denied, and she's deciding to use art to do it, and she's actually going to do something. So she says, what am I going to do? So we say, pick a media, music, dance, visual arts, word, or altogether it's called ceremony or ritual, and then just do it, see what happens. It's really easy. Because the other part about art and healing that's unbelievable is it's really easy because it's natural. This is what we're hardwired for. This is what we do. Cave paintings are the first humans making art on the walls for healing, for the hunt, for shamanism. This is our bodies and our minds and spirits. So we actually don't have to do something other than just play like children and make art. So she starts dancing. And it's a dance intentionally done to heal a rape. Okay? So the first part of the dance is pushing the rapist away. That's what comes to her body. She's not thinking. She's not using the logical cognitive brain. She's using the older brains, the deeper parts, the right brain, maybe the imagistic brain. And then a magic happens. And this magic is the key to art and healing. Suddenly she, like, imagines in her guided imagery space the moon goddess. And this is a true story, and it's in our book, Healing with the Arts, that Mary and I wrote, that describes our 12-week program. And the moon goddess appears, and suddenly she's no longer pushing the rapist away. She's getting larger and larger and more powerful. And she's getting her core strength back. And for her, as she did a dance once a week or every 2 days, the rapist slowly goes away. The moon goddess slowly comes to her. And suddenly she's healed. And her life, for 10 years she's been carrying this rape, unable to be in relationships, depressed. Suddenly she can go on with her life. How did it happen? You go back to the rats at MIT. She excited the cells of the memory of the rape. But since she was dancing, she wasn't being raped at this point. And since the dance is beautiful, and since the images come from your spirits, your ancestors, the healing part of your soul, the core of your being, that new image slowly, slowly replaced the image of the rape until the rape was gone in her memory. It's actually, she knew it happened, but it no longer had sensuality to it. And that, to me, the new research on how art heals scientifically focuses on that. And not surprisingly, because of that, right now, the art is being used as the major single most effective treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome. In soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, they're making art. There's hundreds of programs all over the nation where these guys and women just come in and make art. And what do? They make, the first art is bombs or blood or their helmet. And then the next art is flowers. And then the next art is God. And then they're healed. And that's, I mean, that's not the way it works. It's, whatever it is for them slowly goes from the darkness to the transcendence. And research that Mary Lane did, and I was her preceptor at University of Florida for her PhD in nursing, she asked 63 patients how art healed from University of Florida programs in a technical peer-reviewed PhD, MD-driven medical program. And what they all said was they started in the darkness, and the darkness is the image that needs to be healed. They moved to making art, which was the process, because they were in the arts. The artists came into their rooms in the hospital and said, we're from arts and medicine. We want to make art with you. And then the beautiful healing images slowly came, and then they all describe what sounded to us in the tape recording. She tape recorded each person's interview, like a spiritual vision of some sort, which they call transcendence. So now we know from the physiology research at MIT how this works. So the soldiers with post-traumatic stress, or women who are sexually abused as children, or women who are victims of violence, or all of these people are healed through having the memory actually replaced by the memory fed to them by their artist within. You got it? It's very cool. Okay. The third way physiology affects people. So the first way is hormones through the autonomic nervous system. The second way is memory replacement. And the third way is making new neural circuits. Now, the way that's been proven the most is with Alzheimer's patients, because heart is also one of the major ways Alzheimer's patients are treated now. And if you go on the National Alzheimer's Association website, there's many pages on how to use art with your loved one, your grandmother, as a caregiver to treat Alzheimer's. And this is the way that works, is the memory loss in Alzheimer's is hippocampal and frontal lobe, largely. Art is made all over the brain in central areas. There's a touch, it's made in touch. It's visual area, it's made with the visual area. The auditory area, it's made with the auditory area. The smell area, it's made with the smell area. So you're using completely different areas of the brain that are not involved in the memory loss. Okay, now this is great for research in Alzheimer's, but it's even better for us as people interested in using art to heal our lives. Because what happens is those new areas of the brain that are not usually used and aren't used for memory in the Alzheimer's patients suddenly are used for memory. So you get a person with Alzheimer's and they're almost comatose, very terminal Alzheimer's, and someone sings a song from their childhood, they wake up and they start singing and even dancing because the memory is brought in, triggered by the auditory area, which isn't affected by the Alzheimer's. So the last way physiology of how art heals mind, body, spirit is it creates new neural circuits in areas that aren't being used to substitute from damaged circuits. Got it? Okay, there we are. So I think what I'd like to do with you now is I'd like to do a guided imagery. And I don't know how many of you listeners have done guided imageries. What guided imagery is it's picturing in your mind, in your imagination. We all do it all the time. When you picture where you're going to go this afternoon to pick up food, that's guided imagery in a sense. You're picturing yourself getting into the car. You can see athletes doing it at the Olympics when they stand at the top of the ski slope. For a minute, they picture the whole course, and there's tons and tons of research on guided imagery showing that when you see something in your mind, the neural circuits from your cerebrum go to the muscles, you're firing them, and you're actually kind of experiencing it in your body. So guided imagery is now in 3/4 of the cancer centers in the world. It's a major tool to change physiology, lower the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation. But here we're going to use it for art and healing. So guided imagery is very simple. You relax first, and then you picture an image, and then you come back. And the one I'm going to do, everyone does guided imagery differently, and I'll do it the way I do it. And you can do it any way you want to. Now, if you've already been a guided imagery person, I invite you now to go to the most beautiful and powerful guided imagery that you've ever done in your life, because that memory will come back to your body, to your cells. Okay, so let's do it. Now change the pace, because I've been talking really fast, too much, and bouncing around, and now we'll relax. And what I invite you to do is just go to your breathing and take a breath in. First, you can prepare for the guided imagery by making yourself comfortable, either sitting in a chair or lying down, loosening tight clothing. And you can close your eyes or not. Okay. Now let your breathing, concentrate on your breathing. Take a breath in. Full big breath. Let it out. Another one. Feel the energy shift with this. Okay. Now when you take a breath in, imagine that your body is getting larger. And when you breathe out, let it stay larger. And in the next breath, let it get even larger. If you're comfortable, let your boundaries blur and kind of diffuse a little bit. You can get about a third larger than your actual physical body with this easily. And when you breathe out, let it stay larger. And now I invite you to, since you've gotten larger, there's space between your cells. And look in that space. There's a light with a color. There's an energy with a buzzing. Concentrate on that as you breathe in and let it intensify. And as you breathe out, stay in that enlarged, buzzing, light body space. Okay, now when you breathe in, let it grow. Let it get brighter and more energy. And as you breathe out, let what needs to leave, leave. You may want to let a fear, a thought of an illness, a problem you're working with, just now, you don't need it now. You can just let it drift off. Maybe a pain, an area of tension in your body. And as it leaves, you can maybe even see something leave, some darkness or something like that leave. Okay, now what I'm inviting you to do is you're now in a relaxed state and invite things in your life, energies, forces, we'll talk about it, that love you, care for you, and have been with you forever to come to you now. Now, this can be ancestors, a grandmother who loved you, who was an artist maybe, or a spiritual healer even, or a story of a grandmother, a grandfather. Invite your ancestors to come. In Native American belief, they believe that ancestors are there to help you in this lifetime. So bring in your ancestors. Now, if you have a spirit animal, you know what they are. They're like Native American animals. Invite your animal to come, or any animal to come, and you'll find one. It can be a bear, a raccoon, a rabbit, whatever appears. All shamans had spirit animals, so we're going back to the beginning of art. If you are religious and you have religious figures, Buddha, Jesus, Virgin Mary, white energy of love, angels, let them come. In my belief and the belief of working with thousands of patients over a year, everyone has this. Once I did a workshop with 8 cancer patients, breast cancer, they just drew a mandala, they all had angels. So let your angels come too. And they can just come around you. They can be far away. They can be right on your shoulder. And whenever I work with art and healing, I always invite these spirits that love us, spiritual connections that love us, to come. Remember I said first words, art and healing takes place in sacred space? This is the sacred space. And with Native Americans, which I invite you to do now, you can invite the 4 directions to come to. The East, spirits and grandmothers of the East. The South, spirits and animals and grandmothers, ancestors of the South. The West, spirits and grandmothers, grandfathers, creator of the West and the North. And we use creator and Mother Earth too. And now you're like in a sphere, 6 directions, where you're in sacred protected space. And now we also say, what stays out, and what comes in. So we're inviting only healing things to come in. So we're making sacred space to make art and healing right now. You've just done it. Okay, now what I invite you to do is kind of go back to the visions of your light body, the body with the buzzing. And if you don't feel and see anything, that's fine too. Just daydream, do whatever you want to, listen to my voice. It's all happening. You don't have to know it's happening. It's happening. And your body has an inner healer. The inner healer is the part of you that when you got a cut, made the cells grow together. When you broke a bone, if you ever did, the bone suddenly knit by itself. Bone cells migrated in. When you have a virus or bacteria or infection, antibodies, immune cells came and ate it. That's your inner healer. And that takes place by itself without your conscious control somewhat with the nervous system we talked about. So feel your inner healer in your body. Feel how strong your inner healer is. Remember now consciously all of the times your inner healer healed you. And if you've had surgery, the surgeon sewed something together, but your body made the new tissue. If your body didn't do anything, it would just be a line with stitches, which it isn't. So this is your inner healer. And what I ask you to do is thank your inner healer for being there. Thank it for all the times it's healed you and kept you alive. And tell your inner healer that you'll do everything you can to optimize its strength and power to keep you healthy. And now we'll do something a little different. We'll picture our inner artist. So let your inner artist come to you. An easy way to do this is go back to your childhood when you were making art. You may have been a ballet dancer. You may have been a painter of murals. You may have been watercolors. And there were moments of unbelievable joy that were uncensored and uncriticized. Don't go to the places where somebody said you couldn't do it. Go to the places where you loved it. If you made art in your adult life, in your teenage life, go there too. And see the breadth and scope and power and beauty of the inner artist that you are. Maybe a photographer that took pictures when you were depressed and saw beauty. Maybe a dancer who danced at parties and just knew who she was or who he was when he danced. So let's see these inner artists that we are. And let's thank this inner artist for their creativity, their beauty, and their messages that they give us. Because art is messages from spirit. That's what it is. When you're doing it to heal. And now we'll do a magical, shamanic, fascinating thing. Let your inner artist slide over your inner healer. Let them merge and let them be one. And you may even feel a pop or a, like a when they join together. That's your inner artist and your inner healer becoming one. The left side of your brain and the right side of your brain becoming one. The old brain of instinctual spiritual connections and the new brain of cognitive thought becoming one. And now everyone's an artist, everyone's a healer, the artist and healer are one. You are an artist, you have an inner healer, your inner healer and your inner artist are one. And now we'll come back to the place where you were, not our guided imagery. And the way you do that is press your body, your backside against the chair, if you're lying on the ground, your whole body on the ground, press your hands down on your thighs or on the chair. Physicality. Now what you're going is you're going back to physical body of touch. So press hard. Make a fist maybe. Slowly open your eyes and let yourself be in your body completely. If there's anything out, bring it back in. Reach out, grab it, stick it back in your center. You want to get back in completely into your body so you're embodied now. You're back in. But we're going to do this in a special magic way. As you're waking up, as you're coming back to reality, bring your inner artist and inner healer as one with you. They will never leave. Now you're a different person. You have an inner artist and inner healer as one, and now you're prepared to go on with your life. How to use art to heal in the rest of your life. Okay? So are you back in your body? If you're not, get yourself back. Okay? Pull yourself back in. Push your center. Ground, hug a tree, whatever you need to do to ground and get back in. We'll do now. Okay. Now, if you were in my class or Mary's class at University of Florida, I would now say to you, okay, take the piece of paper in front of you or a journal or a notebook and draw something. Draw something you saw in your guided imageries. It can be your spirit ancestor. It can be white light. It can be, and if you didn't see anything and you're asleep the whole time, just do whatever comes to you. Do a color wash. And next thing I'm telling you, when you're making art to heal, there's no critic. There's nothing, no way to do it wrong. The inner critic that says you can't draw between the lines, you're too clumsy to dance, is gone from this process. You're not going to be at a gallery. You're not going to make money with this. You're not going to even have to show it to anyone at all. Art is healing by bringing your spirit, and it's private. It's intimate. You can share it if you want to, but that's up to you. Okay? So we would then say to the people, make art, let your inner critic go, and do whatever you want to. No one's going to look at it. There's no wrong. If you just paint the whole thing blue, that's the beginning of your healing art process. You need blue. Trust it. With intent, you're going to make art to heal right now, and trust your inner process to do it. Trust your inner healer, your artist as one, to do it. Okay. Now, health futurist Lee Kaiser at University of Colorado extends this a little further. He believes that medicine is at a breaking point today where art and healing and shamanism and Western three-dimensional allopathic medicine are becoming one, because our body is body, mind, and spirit, and you do need the spiritual technology. And he calls it our spiritual DNA. And he says that when we make art, when we drum, when we do a power animal dance, and Anna Halpern is the grandmother of healing dance. When she works with cancer patients, the first thing she does is have them dance an animal. Why does she do that? Because, say they're dancing a bear. They stand up and they growl, and they put their arms forward as like they have claws. And in that moment, they awaken the bear DNA that we carry. And they have courage, because bears are brave. And they heal fast, because bears heal fast. So it's like you're awakening your spiritual DNA, and a movement is the best way to do it, because movement is completely out of the left brain. It's not cognitive thought at all. There's no logic. You don't have to figure out anything to awaken your bear healer within. You just have to growl. So the whole thing, again, what I've told you before, is I'm inviting you to change your life and heal whatever needs to be healed in your life with art and healing. It's in more than half of the cancer centers in America, so it's validated and powerful and grounded. It's based in heavy-duty physiology and scientific research. And it's all you have to do is close your eyes, take a piece of paper, and say, I'm going to heal something that needs to be healed in my life with art, and do it, and it does it for you. Isn't that cool? It really is. We've taught this course, Mary and I, for 10 years plus. We've had literally thousands of people go through our program, and they all heal what needs to be healed in their life. Sexual abuse, childhood sexual abuse, violence to women, stomach aches, chronic headaches, migraine, a grandmother who wasn't mourned for when she died, incomplete grieving, physical, what we say is art heals physical, mental, spiritual, and personal growth concerns. Because you ask yourself, what needs to be healed in my life? What needs? Two things we ask our class. First, they do the guided imagery we did, which is inner artist, inner healer is one. Then they release their inner critic, which I did a little bit with you. Let that one who said you're too clumsy to dance leave now. We don't need him to make art. No one's going to see us. And then you ask yourself what needs to be healed and what media you're going to use. Then you do it for 12 weeks. And in our class, we have pre-med and nursing students, and we have graduate students in guitar. None of them have made art to heal before, and they're on a level playing field. And the graduate student in art doesn't do it any better than the doctor, because they've probably been criticized so many times in their crits in art school that they can hardly make art anymore in a natural way. And we're now saying, from your heart, from your spirit, from God, from your ancestors, you will get the messages that will heal you. And make it in your art and do it and don't worry about it. And then the doctors are all worried about it not being proven or something like that. And we say, okay, just, you're in Shands Hospital now, just go to Arts and Medicine, and they'll take you right to the bone marrow transplant unit, and you can play your guitar that you did before medical school with a child with leukemia who's in a closed room with the shades down. And now you'll bring joy and beauty in there, and you'll see what art and healing is in your body and in their body. So that's what's going on here. So to end, to kind of get near the end of my one-hour presentation, this is what I'm inviting you to do. I'm inviting you to join the world of art and healing, which is now a worldwide movement that's in every part of our society. And I'm inviting you to find your artist within, whoever that is, and they'll change. Maybe it's a dancer now, and it'll become a ceramic sculptor or something. And that'll come to you in guided imagery space. You don't have to think about any of this. And then I invite you to find something that needs to be healed in your life. And I'll go through this again. Yourself, physical, mental, spiritual, personal growth. Others, another person, your brother, your grandmother, people in a hospital program, people in an old age home. Community, a political movement, a race or age movement, and the earth, rivers, stars, ecology. And everyone in our class picks a different thing. And you never know what you're going to pick. In that guided imagery of what needs to be healed, and I can do that very briefly with you. Right now, close your eyes, breathe in and let your body get larger. You've just done it, so your body remembers it. Breathe out, let it stay larger. Breathe in again, let it get the light body and vibrate. And now just ask yourself a question. What needs to be healed in my life? And just listen. And oftentimes people see many things. They see their stomach ache. They see their grandmother. They see, and then one maybe gets larger. So and in 1 hour, of course, we can't do this whole thing. But you can do this when I go off the air here by yourself. You can lie down on a couch or the floor on a pad, a yoga pad in your house, and do all the things I just did again. Or you can get our book, Healing with the Arts, which has got all of it in it with videos as an instruction. Or go on our website, healingwiththearts.com, and see all of this there. But let what needs to be healed in your life, what needs to be healed in your life, what needs to be healed in your life? Let it appear to you like a candle. Let it appear to you like a sculpture. Let it appear to anything you can do, a memory, childhood memory. Remember now you're safe. You're not in that place of what needs to be healed. And bring in all those ancestors and spirit guides and spirit animals I told you about. And then you can go deeper. Shaman never went in there alone. They always went in with their animals. So you don't have to go in alone too. What needs to be healed in your life? Look at it with your angels. Look at it with your ancestors. Look at it with your grandmothers. You've got spiritual DNA that's ready to do that. And then the second step, what art form you want to play with to do this? What have you always wanted to do? What's a piece of art you've dreamed of and never done? You make a film? It's really easy now with an iPhone or an Android phone. Film to heal, poem, write poetry to your lover, 1,000 poems every morning for 5 years, to love poems to your lover. This is what needs to be healed for you, okay? And then you wake up, come back, press the ground with your backside, press your hands, get yourself all in your body so you're fully embodied, okay? Every piece of you in, press your core, get grounded here. And now come back as a person who's going to use art to heal what needs to be healed in their life, change their world and the world. Okay, let's extend this a little bit right now. Eve Ensler with A Billion Rising, Women Dancing to Prevent Violence to Women all over the earth. She had a billion women. That's a giant dance piece. She did it through dance. Okay? And if you look at Eve Ensler, which is Vagina Monologues, you look at her history. She was child sexually abused by her father, and she got out of it by writing Vagina Monologues, by making art. And now she's doing it for a billion people. You look at the revolution in Turkey, where the young people were trying to get freedom against the government. And they were firing tear gas at the young people, and tanks were brought in. And the third night, a German man arrived in a van. He drove to the center of the circle. He took out a grand piano, and he played classical music. It stopped the violence. Where did he get that? How beautiful is that? The fourth night, more famous and more amazing. A man walked to the center of the square. He was a performance artist, and he just stood there. He's now known as Standing Man. And then another person stood there. And then another person stood there. And then everyone was standing there, including the soldiers. And that stopped all the violence and changed completely. So this is a performance artist using his art to heal his community from a political problem. Okay? So again, I'm inviting you to a very, very powerful, very earth-changing, life-changing, physical body-changing part of your life now. Because you're an artist, you're a healer, the artist and healer are one. What do you need to be healed in your life, world around you? What media will you use? And just do it. When we teach our classes, when I do that guide imagery I just did with you, we don't know what's going to happen. A woman comes up to us at the end and she remembers a child sexual abuse from when she was 14 that she's blocked completely. And that's going to be her project. And she's going to do it with painting. Another person remembers it, that they never grieved the death of their grandmother and the family never did a service. So she's made a medicine wheel on the beach. Another woman lost a baby during pregnancy, a miscarriage, and she's never talked about it with her boyfriend or grieved it. So she and her boyfriend went to the country and they made a giant sculpture of stones like 100 yards across, and he took pictures of her making it, and that was her piece for the class. So these things are not... Another person said, there's nothing in my life that needs to be healed. I'm wonderful. All my family's wonderful, everything. So I'm going to go into an old age home, and I'm going to bring art to Alzheimer's patients. So she wrote a letter to the director of the home, got permission, brought her supplies in, and just let them make art. So that's the field of art and healing in hundreds of hospitals, if not thousands worldwide, in cancer units, bone marrow transplant units, in violence for women dances, in political things. It's everywhere. The field of art and healing is wonderful now. And I'm inviting you through this 1 hour brief presentation from my heart and from my spirits and from my space and from the angel spirit guides and animals around me. They're inviting you to come into this. Okay, David?
Thank you so much, Michael. That was amazing. What all the information, just some remarkable things happening here. But just the connection with you and the exercises that you did for us, the guided imagery, this is just a really, really powerful presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You
got good energy. You're easy to work with, and you're positive and upbeat, and it's early in the morning, and not tired, there you go, you know. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And Mary, you know, she wanted me to do physiology, and I think she's not wrong because most people who start this who have anything to do with medicine are very skeptical, and they need to have some grounding. And since I'm a physician, my role in this, you know, you've got other people in your webinars who are going to be Web Summit, who are going to be dancers, musicians. My power as a physician is to ground this thing, and that's what she wanted me to do. So there
you
go.
Well,
you
certainly did that.
I hope.
And yes, there are those folks who are looking for that kind of proof, so to speak,
yeah.
You know, at that scientific, quote-unquote, level.
Yeah.
But you've created such a powerful atmosphere for us today, and, I mean, you really summed it all up with connection to spirit and all of the cultures and traditions and teachings, the ancient wisdom that you combine with all of your medical and scientific knowledge is truly unique and truly wonderful. So thank you again so much for being
here.
Thank
you, David. And you got it. It worked. The recording worked and everything, and we're okay.
We are great.
Okay, terrific.
Okay,
thank you so
again.
Much.
Thank
anything you,
all you for
need
being
from
here.
Me, just I'm contactable, and I'll help you in any way I can. I admire
you
what you're doing. It's a
folks,
terrific
for
project.
For all our listeners right now, there's information on our event page about how you can get in touch with Dr. Michael and lots of other great information there, too. And thank you again for being here. And have
thank
a
you,
wonderful
David.
Day, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.